thank you for the introduction and thank you for the invitation. I'm a mathematician who is I'm working with homotopy theory recently in mathematics, like homotopy theory and algebraic topology. But I'm particularly interested in its relation with quantum field theory and physics. And so I'm collaborating with these people, like Yuji Tachikawa, who is a string theoretist, and also Theo, who cannot come today, unfortunately, about the first, so applying quantum field, so homotopy theory language to quantum field theory, and also get some idea from physics to interest, produce interesting mathematics. So today I'm going to talk about this kind of thing and my work. So first, let me start. I gave a talk in the mathematical physics seminar last year in October. When I was basically talking about similar things, but today I'm going to suppose general physics audience. So if you have anything unfamiliar with that, then please ask questions at any point. And let me start from introducing myself. I'm Mayuko Yamashita. I'm a mathematician. I claim myself as a mathematician. I'm now in Kyoto University in Japan. And I'm working in mathematical physics. So mathematical physics is meaning anything, basically anything lying between mathematics and physics. So I'm interested in both directions. So there are two directions of research, basically, that solving math problems motivated by physics, so physics to math direction. And also, I'm interested in physics solving physics problem by applying the tools from mathematics. So this direction. I'm doing both directions. And also, in mathematics, I'm currently using homotopy theory and algebraic topology in mathematics. But I just wanted to mention that I originally started from different area of mathematics. Actually, I started my career as a mathematician, pure mathematician. I was a student of the Yasuyuki Kawahigashi, who is working on operator algebra and AQFT thing. And I was in particular interested in applying operator algebraic things to differential geometry. I came to know that these ideas, like index theory, Atiyah-Singer's index, and eta invariants are becoming important, more and more important in physics, like quantum field theory and also condensed matter physics recently, and started to collaborate with physicists. And then, interesting thing is that physicists would want to use any tools from mathematics, not just one particular area. Physicists I was talking with about Atiyah-Singer's index theorem suddenly started to ask questions about more generalized cohomology theory and deep homotopy theory thing. And so I was, in a sense, forced to learn many parts of the mathematics and found something interesting in homotopy theory, and this is leading to my current research. So in this sense, I'm always thinking that I'm learning mathematics from physicists. So this is the general introduction of myself. And to continue, before going into the concrete thing, I want to mention the conceptual structure, general structure of my works. My work typically starts from proposals or conjectures connecting physics and homotopy theory or mathematics. So there are several or many interesting and deep conjectures between physics and homotopy theory. So like I'm going to talk about this, but Seagal stole Steiner's proposal about classification of supersymmetric quantum field theory in terms of generalized cohomology theory, and also another proposal or conjecture by Kitaev and more recent Fried-Hopkins one, classifying the anomaly or SPT phases, invertible phases, in terms of some generalized cohomology theory. So these conjectures typically set some equivalence between physics object and homotopy theory object. And given such a conjecture, my work is divided roughly into three directions. The first one is to use proposal to translate physics problem into mathematical problem and solve it mathematically. So this part, this direction, is in a sense, must to physics direction. So do something interesting physical using the mathematics. And the another point is the opposite direction. So use such proposal to translate physics idea to mathematics idea and get something interesting mathematics. So this is the physics to math direction. And finally, I'm also interested in trying to attack or verify the proposal itself. So this is the conceptual structure of my work. So today, I want to talk about, first, I'm going to introduce the general introduction about homotopy theory and physics. Why homotopy theory is interesting for physics. And then I'm going to talk about my work on Seagal-Stoltz-Steiner program, which, there are several works I want to mention. This is the subject I'm currently interested in. So in the first work is Yuji Tachikawa, we showed some vanishing of anomaly in string theory in terms of homotopy theory. And in the second work, I found some interesting interpretation, new interpretation of deep duality in mathematics, homotopy theory, in terms of physics, secondary anomalies. And also, another update is the ongoing work with, I forgot to put the reference, but ongoing work with Yuji, Theo. Actually, this is done in the previous visit to here in October, last October. We found an interesting explanation about some interesting periodicity phenomenon in SQFT. So, I want to mention the future directions. So this is the plan of the talk. So is there any questions at this point? So let me start from really general introduction to relation between homotopy theory and physics. So homotopy theory, this is a mathematical thing. So homotopy theory is a large area, including algebraic topology and also higher category theory and so on. But the most basic thing is the following. Basic idea, old idea is that the starting from, homotopy theory really originates from algebraic topology. And algebraic topology is basically the study of geometric objects by extracting some algebraic information and invariance from such geometric objects. Like if you have topological spaces or manifold, you can extract a characteristic number, Euler number, which is refined to ordinary cohomology of the space. And also, if you have a manifold structure, then you can extract it by Drum cohomology, and also, somehow it is integral. This is a mistake. Not only have the ordinary cohomology, but generalized cohomology like K-theory. So this is a basic thing about algebraic topology, and this is in particular useful for classification problem up to homotopy or something in geometry. So this is a pure mathematics. But why it is this kind of thing is becoming more and more interested in physics application. From classification of anomalies and SPT phases in condensed matter physics. So in particular, algebraic topology is useful for such classification problem in physics. Classification up to deformation of physical systems, like the classification of phases of matter, is very important, obviously. So this is very rough idea why homotopy theory, maybe algebraic topology extracting invariants from physical phases is maybe important. So in order to make more say more thing about concrete thing about the relation to homotopy theory, I want to use the formulation of quantum field theory as a commodism picture. So quantum field theory is generally the ways to describe physical systems. And as you know better than me, there are quite various formulations like AQFTs and Hamiltonian, Lagrangian, and so on. But in order to make sense of the connection between homotopy theory, it is most convenient to use the cobordism picture of the QFT, starting from the next slide. But anyway, in order to motivate it, recall that we are all familiar with quantum mechanics model, that physical system is described by a Hilbert space and its operator, acting operator, which is Hamiltonian. So Hilbert space is the space of state on a space, and Hamiltonian describes the time evolution of the physical system. And this is really pictures in a picture described in this kind of cylindrical picture, where you have the space slice where the Hilbert space is assigned, and if you go to the direction of the time, then you apply the operator, and you get some linear map between this Hilbert space and Hilbert space. And the idea of the cobordism picture of the QFT is that, interestingly, many important examples of QFT can, such a QFT can be also defined for curved spacetime. And this is the idea. So in this cobordism picture, the QFT is defined as an assignment, so D is the space-time dimension, and D minus 1 is the space dimension. And for space-like manifold, you get a vector space, complex vector space. And if you have a cobordism, manifold is boundary, which is D dimension, possibly with extra structure required for defining the theory, like metric and orientation. Then you get a linear map between the Hilbert space here to the Hilbert space here. And this is supposed to be functorial in this way. So this is, this data is can be conveniently described as having a functor from the Bodin category to the vector spaces. And in particular, you observe that the partition function in this context is assigned for closed D-dimensional manifold, regarded as a manifold, cobordism from empty set to empty set, which is given by the Mamba, and regarded as a partition function. And from this description, it can be maybe obvious that this partition function for each manifold can be reflect the topology and geometry of manifold, and this is connected to the this is how we connected this QFT to geometry and topology in mathematics. So this is the rough idea. And let me discuss some very simple example, very stupid example maybe, which I want to call the holonomy theory, where the QFT is exactly defined as a functor. So we fix a target space, which is a manifold, equipped with a line bundle with connection. Then you can create a QFT, a one-dimensional QFT, where this is not a topological QFT, depending on the homotopy class, really the path you choose. So this is defined as follows. So object of this category, so space is zero dimension. So this is a specifies a map to X. So data of the object is a map to X, a point mapping to X. And for this object, we assign a this line, the fiber here, of this line bundle. And the bodism or passing or morphism in this category is specifying passing this target space. And for this path, you assign a linear map between the starting point to the last point by holonomy, so the parallel transport. Then what you get is the theory whose partition function. So what is the closed manifold in this context is that you have a loop in space X, which returns a holonomy along the loop. So in this way, you create the QFT, where the partition function is described by a holonomy along a loop, along this manifold. So this is a very stupid kind of the quantum field theory. But the I put some Japanese mistakenly. Sorry. I said that we are interested in classifying QFT up to deformation equivalence, where deformation equivalence is evident notion for physicists that quantum field theory are deformation equivalent simply if there is a continuous path of QFT deforming from first one to the second one. And for example, that holonomy theory in the last page, recall that it is depending on the connection and line bundle first of all, and the connection chosen on that. I claim that if you fix the line bundle on the target space, then two connections produces different theory, but they are deformation equivalent. This is simply because you can take a linear combination of the connection and get the homotopy. But two line bundle, so there are possibility of having line bundle with different topological class. And these things cannot necessarily deform to each other. So in that case, the holonomy theory and another holonomy theory is different in the classification of deformation, up to deformation. So we are thinking about this kind of classification. And for this kind of, that kind of problem, algebraic topology can be particularly useful. At least for the previous example, you can think of the classification of line bundle, which is exactly given by ordinary cohomology, second ordinary cohomology. And conversely, the important thing is that the partition function in that context had all the information of the holonomy, so that it is a fact that all the information of the holonomy can be used to reconstruct the line bundle with connection up to gauge equivalence. So in this way, you can make sense of the this class, H2 class, by the class, the class of the holonomy theory as the H2 class of the target space. So this is the topological classification we have in mind. But so the naive expectation from this, two naive expectation is that maybe ordinary cohomology, two-dimensional ordinary cohomology classifies at least a subclass of one-dimensional QFT for target X. And maybe too much more naive expectation is that if you increase the number d, then you can classify higher dimensional QFTs. And of course, this is false, and we need to work more. So it certainly is true that HD gives an example of d minus one dimensional QFT. But the subclass, first of all, in order to make this a little bit precise, the subclass here may be taken to be the invertible QFT. Note that the thing which appeared from that construction, previous construction, was having the Hilbert space always a one dimension. So this sounds maybe not interesting, but this is particularly happening in the case of SPT phases, condensed matter, because they think of the theory uniquely gapped phases, where originally you consider the higher dimensional Hilbert space and Hamiltonian acting on that, but the ground state space is gapped and one dimensional, which can be regarded as one dimensional QFTs. In this way, such a classification of one-dimensional QFT is already interesting in the context of SPT phases. Anyway, this is maybe an invertible class, is maybe an interesting subclass, but even if we restrict to such a subclass, we should use the generalized cohomology theory, which turns out to be the Anderson dual of the Bohdian cohomology theory in a higher dimensional case. And also, you want to think about fermionic symmetry and so on. So, this was the rough idea about how homotopy theory may be useful for classification in physics. So, is there any question or comments at this point? Yes.
So, in what way is the functor monoid? Monoidal
part,
right?
Monoidal, yes. Monoidal hands.
So, because if you have, let's say, monoidal hands,
yes.
There's some chalk playing on the floor in terms of monoidal product.
For too much simplicity, I was only talking about the non-extended QFTs, but where the target is evident, the vectors. I certainly have to be super vector spaced if you want to be fermionic. Maybe you're saying about high so extended QFT. Actually, it is quite important in our story also that you consider the extended QFT in order to make sense of the locality in this Bohdism setting. The target is going to be typically the von Neumann algebras. I didn't mention the monoidal structure, which is quite important, that this data is not just a functor, but satisfies some extra information. One of the most important thing is the symmetric, monoidal, preserving the monoidal structure on the both sides. Bohdism category has the monoidal structure by symmetric monoidal structure by disjoint union, and vector spaces has the tensor product. But you are saying that if you want to extend to the algebras, then topological case is okay, since the target is going to be finite dimensional, and finite dimensional algebra can be tensor product, so definitely. But if you go to the infinity dimensional thing, non-geometric thing, non-topological thing, geometric thing, you have to run into infinite dimensional thing, and von Neumann algebra tensor product is ambiguous. So for that, so there are quite subtlety about the and so the target space of the QFT, but at least I can say that Sturzenegger paper treats the Kohn tensor product as a candidate, as a target of the geometric QFT.
That's
nice. Is it your comment?
No, I'm just like making sure.
Yeah. Mhm. Yes. I have to admit that this explanation is too much naive. And actually, the point for my work, currently, so far, is I'm actually not using the such a subtlety of the QFT. I'm somehow avoiding such non-defined thing to really based on pure solid mathematics. So this is what I can explain from now. So my work, so let me move on to my work. So I want to explain our work on Siegel-Sturzenegger proposal. So we have been, I have been working on this stuff. So motivated by a question raised by Tachikawa about heterodic anomaly vanishing in maybe three years ago or so. So Siegel-Sturzenegger proposal is, as I said, a deep conjecture, very deep conjecture, which connects to between homotopy theory and physics. And so, as I said, I have worked in different directions, like going from physics to math and getting math ideas from physics, and also interested in attacking the proposal itself. So maybe I can go to the first thing, which is maybe to you, to this audience, it is clearly so it is easy to make sense of the motivation of the study. So our main result is actually a physical statement that heterotic string theory is anomaly free, so a kind of anomaly vanishing of the superstring theory. So whatever it is, the strategy is to translate this physical statement into a pure mathematics statement using the proposals connecting physics and homotopy theory. And once we have translated into a mathematics problem, then we can solve it mathematically without taking care of subtlety about the definition of QFT and so on. So this is what we did. More precisely, this is what we did, what we used to translate the physics into mathematics. So in order to make sense of heterotic string theory, it is convenient in this story to think about heterotic string theory as a machinery, starting from the world sheet theory. We are in the string theory, so two-dimensional CFTs. And putting this supersymmetry of CFT, so heterotic construction produces a QFT on the target space, regarded as a quantum gravity theory, which is regarded as a quantum field theory on the target space, string manifold. And we are interested in existence or non-existence of the anomaly, so we want to extract anomaly from that construction. So this is the this composition. So the problem is to show that this composition vanishes. And the interesting thing for us is that both of these sides, this side and this side, has mathematical counterpart given by these proposals, where by Sturzenegger conjecture, two-dimensional supersymmetric QFT is related to the topological modular forms, what I want to explain. And QFT for string manifold anomaly for such a QFT is in turn related to some other thing, which is called the Anderson dual to string Bodin theory. So this thing and this thing, I'm going to mention further from next slide, but these things are generalized cohomology theory, which is a kind of general version of the ordinary cohomology and K theory, but highly generalized. And so if you are familiar with the language of homotopy theory, this is a spectrum. And mathematically, it is this composition is reflected to the map of spectrum or map of generalized cohomology theory. So this is what I where I use the conjecture. And if you use this conjecture, you can translate this physical problem of showing the vanishing of this composition to the mathematical problem of showing this vanishing of this particular transformation alpha.
Cohomology.
D. Ah, yeah, D is the cohomology degree, which is, so mathematically, this is just a degree shift of the TMF. But I omitted everything in here, reference to here. Actually, D plus 22 is related to the central charge of the CFT. And D plus 2 here, D is actually the dimension of the QFT which you obtain. So if you consider the meaning of the heterotic compactification, so heterotic string construction, the so the CFT with central charge D plus 22 divided by 2 has a, so CL and CR, the difference is this number. And heterotic compactification produces some particular the anomaly where CL is regarded as a bosonic thing and CR is regarded as a fermionic thing. And this dimension, the existence of string target space dimension is canceling the anomaly.
So that
could you?
Are there any assumptions of D here can be anything?
Yeah, this is another point. Mathematically, we assume that all dimension, having a transformation of generalized cohomology theory is really having a map for all D, which is functorial. So I said this is a this should be regarded as a transformation of cohomology theory, which also allow a target space to involved. And typically, like you consider the manifold so the theory with G symmetry, which is regarded as a target with BG. And I'm assuming this transformation to be functorial for putting such target space and shifting the dimension. And this is the compatibility with shifting the dimension is physically made sense by the compatibility with compactification. I mean, superficially, only physically, corresponds to D dimension, QFT. And you know that string theory has a 10 dimension. Superstring has the target space 10 dimension. And in this story, you can consider 10 dimensional manifold something times something, decomposing that. And you can realize a priori D less than 10 in this construction. So it may be strange that D can be any integer, even minus integer, but this is, in a sense, I can explain it by, having this thing is equivalent to ID of M string as Sn to the D plus N plus 2. You can go to the shift to the negative thing, where if you allow non-trivial target space. This kind of thing is assumed by the functoriality. But let me just assume that this is. Our starting point really is to assume that this is happening for arbitrary D. From the beginning, I have to mention that our strategy, our strategy here in this story is really to admit this kind of conjecture and that kind of so what I said, like the all this thing is can be realized by a map of spectrum. All the things, all those things, assumptions are made in order for creating clear mask problems. Maybe there is a subtlety, a physical subtlety between that. So, from now on, I want to mention something about Seagal-Stroh-Steiner conjecture itself, proposal itself. This is relating the supersymmetric QFT with two-dimensional QFT, Suji QFT with minimal supersymmetry, is something called a topological modular form. This is a homotopy theory object. So this is a physical object and a homotopy theory object. So in this sense, this proposal is connecting something physical with something homotopy theory. And this thing is a spectrum in the sense of the homotopy theory, which you can think of it as a generalized version of the cohomology theory, which is a in a sense, topological version of the usual modular form we are familiar with. Modular form in the sense of the function on the upper half space. So this correspondence is a refinement, actually a refinement of the following procedure, where starting from SQFT, two-dimensional theory, you can produce the modular form. Weakly holomorphic modular, integral modular form. Integral modular form, the ring of integral modular form is really explicitly written in this way. So you take a theory to, and apply it to evaluate the torus, two-dimensional torus is Ramon-Ramon sector. So then you, so by the, this supersymmetry, you deduce the holomorphicity and the so index of the modular form depends on the central charge of this theory. This is the relation. And of course, if you think of this kind of procedure, it is easy to imagine that you lose a lot of non-trivial information of QFT. So there are a lot of information which is cannot be reflected to the modular forms. But somehow the Stroh-Steiner conjecture is saying that if you use a proper topological refinement of the thing, modular form, then this is up to deformation equivalent to the topological modular form. This is the content of the Seagal-Stroh-Steiner proposal. And why this kind of proposal is very interesting and important is the following. So mathematically, as a mathematician, TMF actually itself is a very deep object and important subject in the homotopy theory. As I said, it is a spectrum, generalized cohomology theory, which is a topological version of modular form. But actually, this is not so. I want to say that TMF is quite non-trivial thing homotopy theoretically. So so even defining TMF is quite non-trivial, involving mixture of homotopy theory and algebraic geometry. So this is not something which we encounter in a first course of the homotopy theory or algebraic topology, like ordinary cohomology or K theory. This is highly non-trivial. And this is related to the spectral algebraic geometry by Rudy. And this is a mathematics thing. And also, physically, this proposal itself is very interesting because this proposal has a lot of implication, non-trivial implication for SQFTs, the space of SQFTs, which cannot be extracted by modular forms. So in that sense, if you believe in this Seagal-Stroh-Steiner proposal, this topological, it is saying that supersymmetric QFT has a same non-triviality as this mathematics object. So you should have some torsion phenomenon and duality and periodicity, which is existence in TMF. And this is exactly the topic of this talk. So in order to just look at what kind of object the TMF is. So I explain some information about TMF. So TMF is so defined in as a global section of infinity sieve. Anyway, information in non-trivial information is that we have. So this is a refinement of the modular form, so we should have the map to modular form. But first of all, this has non-trivial co-kernels. So there are several classes, several modular forms, namely the modular discriminant, which cannot be lifted to TMF. And 24 times delta is has a lift. So this kind of non-trivial co-kernel exists. So in SQFT language, this should mean that there is no SQFT which realizes modular discriminant, but there is a list whose modular form is 24 times delta. And this is exactly the Duncan CFT for this example. And another very important thing is that there are many non-trivial torsions randomly appearing in the TMF table. And I can show it in this table. This table is I show it only in order to show that there are too much non-trivial thing happening here. So this is describing the TMF groups. And you see that this Z2 is Z over 2, but we have this is a two localized version of the table, so you have three localized version, and TMF itself is combined to that. Anyway, this kind of seemingly randomly appearing torsion is happening. And actually, this table ends by finite number. This is reflected by the periodicity. So TMF is 576 periodic. This is 24 times 24. So you can show that, mathematically show that there is a periodicity element, a modular discriminant to the 24 power, which describes the periodicity of TMF. So this is the TMF, so the information of TMF. If you believe in the Siegel-Stroh-Steiner proposal, this kind of structure is exactly happening in the space of SQFTs. So let me move back to our result. So I said that I used our diagram connecting this diagram, and said that TMF is as I explained. And physics problem is to show that the anomaly vanishes, and mathematics problem is this transformation vanishes. And actually, if you so after the translation after this so actually in this work the translation this translation of the problem is hold apart. And once you have translated in this way, the proof turns out to be very simple, only uses some information about modular form and some vanishing, particular vanishing of TMF classes. So I just wanted to mention that so this mathematics problem turned out to be very simple. So in this way, we showed the heterontic anomaly vanishing. This is the first result. Do you have any questions at this point? Maybe not. So let me move on to the second part, second thing, which deduces something interesting in mathematics from physics. So actually, in topology, it is typical that if you have some vanishing result, then you have something secondary, which is very non-trivial. And this is happening in our setting, it turns out. And in this setting, I showed that some vanishing result of the transformation from TMF to anomaly, and there is some lift which can be called a secondary anomaly. So this is a kind of something parameterizing the how to trivialize the anomaly, how to cancel the anomaly, the choice of the anomaly cancellation, and which we call the secondary morphism. And it turns out that there is a canonical lift. And the main conceptual result is that alpha is directly related to a homotopy theory result, purely homotopy theory known result about Anderson self-duality of a version of topological modular form. I don't say an exact statement, but this is essentially saying that alpha is factoring through the Anderson self-duality, which was previously known. So it is. There are quite a lot of interesting implications about this result. That first of all, as a mathematician, I didn't know any geometric idea or any idea about this Anderson self-duality. But this somehow physics so physics motivation produces the Anderson self-duality, and having a physical interpretation is directly translated to having a differential geometric understanding, and so this is I'm satisfied with quite satisfied with having a nice understanding of this purely homotopy theoretic result. But another thing important for us is that alpha, you can so say that alpha is very non-trivial because it factors through the duality isomorphism. And you can use such a non-trivial alpha to deduce the pairing. So you can show that this kind of thing, so TMF to some kind of dual of this thing. So this is reflected to having a TMF pairing of the TMF with explicit manifold. So this thing is parameterizing a manifold with a boundary, which whose bulk is spin manifold and the boundary is string manifold. Anyway, this is something geometric you can write down. So in this sense, alpha, which I created from physics anomaly cancellation, is allowing us to construct non-trivial pairing between SQSTs and geometric manifold, and which is non-trivial. And the point is that it is computable by a differential geometric way. So you can hope of computing, so starting from typical thing, typical use of this kind of pairing is that you have an interesting example of QFT, SQFT, which may be hitting some non-trivial torsion element in TMF. So you detect such a torsion by pairing it to appropriate explicit example of the manifold and measure the non-triviality of the pairing. This is the way we can use this kind of pairing. And concretely, we have a lot of application. Like, so physically, this kind of computation of the pairing allows us to extract some subtle torsion information, which cannot be extracted by modular form from two-dimensional QFTs, like the ones in the randomly appearing torsion in the table. So for example, we have this kind of explicit example of correspondence between lattice CFTs and non-trivial torsion in these classes. So is there any question at this point? So maybe I can go to the last part, which was the update since the last talk. So the, this is the work amazingly done by Theo, done with Theo, when I visited the here in last October. So I it was amazing for me that this work, the main basically the most of the thing, the important thing is done in the last 2 hours of my visit this last time. So this was a fun experience. So I appreciate that experience. So this is a proof of 576 periodicity of SKFTs without using TMF, actually. So mathematics fact, so I have to borrow the mathematics fact that TMF was exactly 576 periodic. Exactly 576 periodic means that periodicity element is this thing, but you cannot divide it more. You don't have that delta to the 12, for example. But 2 times delta to the 12 appears as an image. So this kind of subtle thing. So this is not given by the periodicity of modular form, because modular form, the ring of modular form has a periodicity by 12. And but so if you believe in such a Strauss-Steiner proposal, then SQFT should be exactly 576 periodic. And but there is no satisfactory physical explanation of this periodicity, and this is what we have figured out. So in order, so in general, quite generally, in order to have some prove that something is periodic by exactly n periodicity n, you have to do 2 things. The first thing is to give a lower upper bound by n. And the second thing is to give a lower bound. And they are quite different flavor. So giving an upper bound is, in a sense, very explicit. So it is just enough to construct an invertible element in that 576. And actually, this is, in this way, this is an existent result, which physicists are very good at. Giving such an example, and essentially done by computation of Davide and so on. So there are subtlety here we are discussing with Theo. But anyway, this is what we can do by giving an example. But giving a lower bound is compared to that, it is a non-existent result, and it is not enough to give any kinds of examples. So you have to show that there doesn't exist anything hitting this element. And this sounds to be difficult, very non-trivial. But you can borrow the power of mathematics to settle this.
So is SQFT defined
yes.
mathematically as an object? SQFT by itself, is it a mathematically defined object?
No. This is an important part. SQFT is not mathematically defined, but obvious difficulty is to how to formulate the problem. So recall that Siegel-Strauss-Steiner proposal. Of course, we cannot assume this Siegel-Strauss-Steiner proposal in this periodicity work, because TMF, so this is already I know by periodicity. But in a sense, what I want to do is to extract conditions satisfied by TMF, physical condition, so that we can guarantee the 576 periodicity. I mean, Siegel-Strauss-Steiner proposal is precisely divided into 2 parts. The first part is that supersymmetric QFT can be made into a spectrum in a homotopy theory. So this SUGI QFT, SQFT, a spectrum or generalized cohomology theory exists. And the second thing is to identify it with a TMF, which is established mathematically. So in this work, I only use the first part of the conjecture. So the first part is just having a SQFT. So I admit that there is a SQFT, some spectrum which I call the SQFT. And start from a spectrum SQFT, we put some assumptions implied by physics. And show the periodicity is exactly given, lower bounded. So what is the assumption is very simple. So the SQSD, one of the important structure maps for existence for TMF is that there is a map from string logism, which has a clear physical meaning that if you have a string manifold, then you can consider the supersymmetric sigma model to produce a SQFT. So I assume that this SQFT spectrum have a map from here. And also, you can compactify two-dimensional theory by S1 and produce a Hilbert space. And this Hilbert space is eclipsed with a S1 action, a rotation, given by rotation. So this produces a KO with formal variable. And also, you have an evaluation to land into the modularized form. So this is what I assume SQFT should fit into this picture. And also, another interesting input is that I have to assume one particular degree vanishing of SQFT. And this is actually important in the heterotic showing the heterotic anomaly vanishing. So this is 21 is related to the degree shift appeared in the heterotic compactification transformation. And mathematically, what we do is that this assumption, only this assumption, suffices to show that this thing is non-existent and this thing is non-existent, so that periodicity of SQFT is lower bounded by 576. So this is what we did. So strategy was how to show this is actually what we as we explained, there is a duality pairing happening from between SQFT and the manifold. And actually, you can guarantee the integrality for the pairing purely mathematically and with explicit formula so that you can evaluate, you can, so it is a non-trivial step is to find this high, very high dimensional manifold, but somehow we manage this to compute the pairing and give this divisibility. So this is how we use such a pairing. So these are the my works. And at the last minute, I explain future direction. So I have, so we can do a lot of things. I have a lot of, so I'm interested in really many things. But so obvious thing is to, given such a conjecture, Siegel-Strauss-Zeichner proposal, we want to attack the proposal itself. So I imagine, think that if you can formulate in a Siegel-Strauss-Zeichner proposal properly formulated Siegel-Strauss-Zeichner proposal can be made precise and proved. But it is not a good, too ambitious to attack this proposal itself, I think. And there are various sub-problems and variant of the problem you can consider. Like, for example, we want to take into the symmetry into account, and we want something like modular tensor category equivariant TMF for incorporating general symmetry, not just a group symmetry. And this thing is highly expected by physics, but not mathematically established. This is a relative work is what I'm doing with a physicist postdoc in Harvard. So this is quite seems to be quite interesting because equivariant cohomology is established in homotopy theory, but MTC equivariance is seems to be very particular to this kind of story. And also, there are a lot of things we can talk about here. And also, another thing is that maybe having a coordination picture is unsatisfactory for some of you. And certainly, I'm quite interested in relating different pictures for QSDs, like there are quite a a lot of pictures physicists use to describe physics systems, like Lagrangian system and AQFT, lattice model and cobordisms. And somehow they should be related. And also, you notice that lattice CFT, lattice QFT class, which appear, we detect in the TMF story, comes from such other pictures of QFTs. And I'm quite interested in relating such pictures and giving a universal interpretation. And also, obviously, I want to find more physical interpretation, physical application of homotopy theory, and maybe another kind of mathematics. So thank you very much. This is the end of the talk.
Proposal. I mean, is there a chance to kind of characterize it uniquely as a spectrum?
That's one of the possibilities. So, TMF. So, I said like having a nice. So the having a nice. So TMF really. Shouldn't be regarded as a single spectrum, but something which so equivariant TMF and maybe modular tensor category equivariant TMF should be put into universal picture and all of the things. So having these enhancement for all the symmetries, that is the picture suggested from physics, and such a global equivariant cohomology theory can be characterized as a feature for TMF. This is one dreamy picture. But more concretely, so this is really useful. Having an equivariant version of this story is very useful because, so typically, QFT class, for example, the QFT class appearing here, lattice QFTs, lattice CFTs, this kind of example, obviously, by definition, having EH symmetry and this symmetry. And so this is saying that this TMF class, so if you establish the equivariant twisted TMF, then this class should naturally lift to that class. And that class, maybe TMF class itself is torsion, modular form is vanishing, but so character, so the equivariant character can be usually non-vanishing. So if you so then you can ask mathematical problem that this particular element, non-torsion element, whether it maps to trivial element or torsion element in TMF. That way, having an equivariant story at hand is really useful for detecting the constructing a map from example of SQFT to TMF, for example.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. So if you take your proposal for modular MDC equivariant, if your MDC was not semi-simple, it feels very analogous to algebraic K theory. Like if I did this one dimension down, I just replaced my modular tensor category by an algebra. Building K theory of that algebra. Mm-hmm. I mean, so are you envisioning like an algebraic elliptic cohomology? Is this kind of part of the dream?
I haven't thought in that way, but so you can. So for example, what is the algebraic K theory of the TMF? In the case of algebraic, so K theory of the KU theory, so there is a model given by two vector spaces. Maybe, that's seems to be plausible. Like, I haven't thought about that, but maybe. Oh, thank you for the comment.
Are there any other questions?
Yeah. I want to make sure that you want to use all divergence of category to characterize the generalized symmetry in the typically, I think we do not require the category to be modular typically in QFT context. So why do you need it to be modular here?
For example, so the supersymmetry, so the modular. I'm not sure what generalization you mean. You have in mind, but you have two dimensional. So the what we have in mind is the two dimensional. So the symmetry of the two dimensional n equals to 0, 1 supersymmetric QFT, where of course you have to be fermionic modular tensor category, for example. What do you mean by generalization?
I mean, if we just consider, maybe I should talk about it.
Yes.
Is there a quick geometric picture that you can assign to the parent? Because let's say one chromatic type down, I can imagine.
Pairing? A geometric explanation of actually there is a geometric pairing. I can say that integral pairing is actually easier. Integral pairing is really basically you do something like Wittgenstein's, but Wittgenstein's extracting Wittgenstein's times modular discriminant and extracting the Q0 coefficient, something like that formula. But we have relative thing, relative Wittgenstein's. This is a non-trivial part a little, but this is pairing has such a formula, and Q over Z-valued thing is a little subtle. Actually, this is enhanced to differential pairing given by the eta invariant. So eta invariant, Wittgenstein's version of the eta invariant, but it is going to be relative eta invariant. So it can be, have some Pfaffian bundle appearing in the boundary, and because of the existence of the string structure on the boundary, some part of the necessary part of the Pfaffian bundle is trivialized. Such a kind of formula. Yes?
Is there some way to characterize dirichlet Zeugma-Schuster symmetry or more insightful
method? I don't know actually. So, but I can imagine there are given a 0,2 supersymmetric QFT, you can produce not just a restricting to n equals to 0,1, but you can do perform something non-trivial to produce different kind of produce a different way of TMF class, like you think of the family of SQFT by R symmetry and the compactifying thing. This is maybe producing non-trivial TMF class in the degree one lower, and that kind of procedure I can imagine, but it is not quite obvious for me that n equals to 0,2 regarded as a nice subspace of TMF spectrum.
Okay, so if there are no more questions, let's thank Miyuko again.
Thank you very much.